On this most holy of nights, we gather in the quiet beauty of our church to reflect upon our Lord's institution of the sacred meal known by various names, Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist, the Last Supper. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the authors of the Synoptic Gospels, as they're called, all claim that the meal which Jesus shared was the feast of Passover, the great annual Hebraic remembrance of that day when God led them out of slavery in Egypt on a journey back to the promised land of their patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The final battle, you will recall, between Pharaoh and Yahweh was the final act of God's liberation. An unblemished, perfect lamb was to be slaughtered, and the blood of the lamb was to be smeared upon the doorposts and lintel of the Hebrew people. And then the death angel would pass over, and the Hebrews would be spared, protected by the blood of the Lamb. Interestingly, unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John's Gospel has no mention of the Last Supper, no account at all in John's Gospel. In John's Gospel, Jesus dies on the cross on what's called the Day of Preparation, when the lambs were to be slaughtered in preparation for the Passover. I'm not sure of all the reasons John chose not to include such a significant event, but I do know this. John seeks to be sure that Christians understand Jesus to be the unblemished and perfect Lamb whose blood covers our sins and who takes away the sins of the world. For all those who repent and receive in their hearts God's gift of salvation, a gift that only comes through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't make the Bible contradictory, though some critics might see it that way. John just wants us to know that Jesus is the Lamb slaughtered for our Passover. Well, regardless historically of whether the Last Supper was a Passover meal or not, all four Gospels proclaim the same truth, that salvation comes only through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. his blood shed to reconcile us to a holy God. Well, it's been 20 centuries, and the church has proclaimed Jesus' words ever since that were spoken to the 12. Take, eat, this is my body which is given for thee. Do this in remembrance of me. It is more than noteworthy that Jesus did not say, this bread represents my body. He said, this is my body. And so for 20 centuries, the church has taken great care to be sure that when the priest says the words of consecration, that the elements which were once ordinary, bread, wine, have been transformed into the real presence of God among us and within us. The power to make bread and wine into the real presence of our Lord does not come vested in the power and authority of the priest. I don't change anything. The power to transform the bread and wine comes from the power of God's Word. A power that was initiated by Jesus in that upper room, but words of institution as sacred today as ever. Well, over the past 20 centuries, Christians have fought and disagreed vehemently over what exactly happens to the elements of bread and wine. The Roman Catholics believe in transubstantiation. In other words, the substance is transformed. They no longer are substantively bread and wine, but are transformed into our Lord. Therefore, the elements are, after everyone has received them, placed in a tabernacle, often behind a very ornate monstrance. And the elements are then used to communicate the sick and the shut-ins. Protestants may find this odd. When a Roman Catholic goes into church and sees the tabernacle, they genuflect because they know they are standing in the presence of Christ. Lutherans believe in consubstantiation, con meaning with. Lutherans believe the substance of the bread and wine coexist with the body and blood of Christ. Christ is present along with bread and wine. We Anglicans believe in the doctrine of the real presence. We believe that Jesus is really present in the celebration of Holy Communion. We leave it unexplained in terms of what literally happens to the elements. We simply trust that our Lord tonight will be really present once those words of His are pronounced. Well, many differences of opinion within the Christian church. But I think I am safe to say so many things are beyond our understanding. And left to divine mystery. But mystery in the sense that we can at the same time depend upon their efficacy. The promise of God to each of us is that this meal we are about to partake of not only nourishes us, but it is a foretaste of what heaven holds for us. In Luke 22, verses 14 to 16, Jesus tells the apostles these words about what heaven holds for us. Listen to Jesus' words. And when the hour came, he sat at table, and the apostles with him. And Jesus said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat of it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. John, in the book of Revelation, reminds us of more well-known words. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. This is Jesus' invitation to all people to share in the joys of the messianic banquet in the age yet to come. So, for all we may not know about the details of this 20 centuries old Christian practice of participating in Holy Communion, I believe we can all agree on this. Jesus told us to do this, and to do it in remembrance of Him. We do not need to explain Holy Communion. We do not need to understand Holy Communion. And we can all disagree with one another, but it's a futile exercise. We only need to faithfully receive it with reverence and with eternal gratitude to the one who made sure that before he faced the cross, he shared and instituted this sacred meal with his apostles and told them that whenever they celebrated, to do it in remembrance of him. And somehow, when Jesus charged the apostles at the end of Matthew's gospel with the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. His last words to them were this: and lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age. And so tonight, let us rejoice that until the day of the consummation of the ages comes, faithful Christian people will gather to celebrate the gift of his presence in the sacred sacrament of Holy Communion. May it be a solace to us all and a reminder of how much he loves us. For, my friends, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.